Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton. And we thank God that we are here on another day to bring none other than the engrafted Word of God, which James says, which is able to save your soul. So what a blessing to be able to get into the perfect law of liberty. That is God's Word. We thank God for that. And we're thankful just another day that the Lord has kept us. Like the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations, is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. He goes on to say they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we thank God that He's faithful. And that's why He said that He called Abraham faithful, because he was full of faith. Mm-hmm. So just like God. So we know that the Bible said in Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? He goes on to say, God forbid. So we know right there in that scripture, he's saying, shall someone's unbelief make the faith of God? He's talking about the faithfulness of God of none effect. God forbid. So it doesn't matter. So we got to keep believing, because that was the reason why the Israelites could not enter in to the promised land, because of that one word, unbelief, which is the worst sin in the whole wide world. So we're going to be moving on, and after we do our food for thoughts, and we're going to be moving on in the book of Romans. We're enjoying this book, and some things we're going to be dealing with on this week, and it's going to be two or three more weeks we're going to be wrapping up this book, because we're going to be going into the 13th chapter of the book of Romans on the day. Amen. So my food for thought. In the second chapter of Galatians, Apostle Paul is talking here, actually the 18th verse, he says, for if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And that's so very important. So though, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live under God. And he goes on to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So thank God for that, because it's because of him. Like the writer said, when we went in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he was saying that he's not far from any one of us. But he said, but in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So it's because of him, because he is in us. And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have the Son. Just like he said, I pray the Father will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He said, he dwelleth with you. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, and shall be in you. So we are recipients of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the self-same person. So thank God that we are crucified with Christ. So that is, we are suffered things because of his namesake. Or, not only that, but one scripture says it's on the behalf of Christ, which chosen not only to suffer for him, but we're chosen to suffer for his sake. So even in other times, we suffer for his name's sake. So thank God that we're able to suffer for his sake.
Amen, amen, amen. I agree with that, brother. And, you know, and it's one thing to know and to understand that there will be some suffering with your walk with Christ. And,
yes.
And we should glory and be thankful in that because it's written. Amen. We should not be sad when tests and trials come our way. But on the flip side of that, one of my favorite scriptures to visit in the Bible comes out of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And a lot of times, you know, I like to remind the saints of this scripture because it's one thing, amen, to get in a race in the natural, if you will. You know, let's say you're going to get in a race and they get everyone lined up on the starting line and the official pulls the trigger on that starter gun and you just take off running. And you know you want to win. You know
yeah.
you want to finish first. But how sad would it be if you had, number one, no idea where the finish line was
yeah.
and what your prize is.
Right.
See, we have to understand why we are running a race if we're going to be running. What is in it for me, if you will?
And yes.
As a Christian, the reason that we are living the way that we are living, the reason that we are stepping back, if you will, or not living in sin or not visiting sin anymore, there's a reason. And I like to remind you all, those that have repented of their sins, those that have been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, those that have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, there is a reason to go on. There is a purpose. And John speaks of that in the 21st chapter of Revelation, and he says, beginning at the third verse is where I like to pick up, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Yeah.
And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That is for the saints. That
yeah.
is the promise. That is what we should be focusing on,
yeah.
is that great and glorious day. That's something that we should always keep with us. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Amen. So what's good about it, like somebody said, God's not going to take out a handkerchief and wipe tears away. There's going to be no reason to cry.
No reason to cry.
Former amen. Things not going to come to mind. So thank God for that. You know, that's like the songwriter says, that is why I'm going to continue. That is why I'm going to the end. That is why I'm running to the strong tower, that I might testify again. He said, that is why I keep in God's commandments, and I'm striving every day,
mm-hmm.
that I might stand before the saints of God to sing and shout and give God praise. So that is, you got victory, because we're going from faith to faith.
Yes.
So if you're not ashamed, you know, you won't be ashamed of the gospel. You got faith, you don't have a testimony, that if you don't have the victory.
Amen.
You know, and that's why John says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we're walking from faith to faith. So we thank God for that. So we are thankful. We've been going through the book of Romans, showing us how to walk, our Christian walk. And then the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th chapter, we've dealt with Israel. Because so many times people want to pick up promises that belong to Israel. They,
yes.
they literally belong to them. God's going to restore Israel. And so those things, is, like he said in Romans 11 and 29, he said, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance."
Mm-hmm.
God called Israel. God gave Israel the oracles of God. And God's not going to repent or change his mind about that.
Amen.
He loved them. And so that's why the writer went on to say, "God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Question. Or who hath been his counselor? Question.
who hath given him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Question. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And the writer ends up saying, amen, so be it.
Amen.
So we thank God for that. So we're going to be moving on today, dealing with a subject, actually, in the 13th chapter of Romans, and it's actually talking about civil government is what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So God did ordain government, and so this is what we're going to be dealing with on today. So we know we've got some experience sitting here in the penal system. That is, I've been a volunteer in there, and then my elder here, my colleague, Elder Clifton, works in that system.
Amen.
So we kind of know, we're going to try to give some understanding here out of this 13th chapter of Romans.
And it's good to, yeah, to note that God has established order,
yeah,
and everything that he has done. And just on the flip side, when you mention, government, a lot of times you will hear church government being mentioned, and you will mention a lot of times that you have churches that fall under the umbrella of independent.
Yeah.
And essentially what they're saying is they don't want to be subject,
right,
to any higher powers.
Right.
They don't want to have any leadership over them. And a lot of times, if you know, in the natural sense, if you were to take out law enforcement, for an example, we would have people running out in the world going absolutely bananas.
Anarchy.
There will be no order.
Right.
You understand? So that is one of the reasons that we have laws of the land to have some type of control.
Yeah.
And whether or not you understand all of the laws, you would be held accountable for those things. You know, there is really, unfortunately, no such thing as ignorance of the law. And I'll give you an example. When I was a younger man, I was probably 17, maybe 18 years old. I took my first trip over to Canada. In the area we live here, we just go right down to Detroit. It takes about 30 minutes. We cross over to that bridge.
Yeah.
Now, I had never understood as a young man on the dash when you're reading here in the States, the MPH is the miles per hour, and I understand you're going down a highway. The sign says 70. It doesn't say 70 miles per hour. It just says 70, and I should know that means that I can only go 70 miles per hour down a highway. Anything over that, I'm in violation. Well, in Canada, they go by kilometers per hour. I didn't know this. I was ignorant to that, and I never knew those little numbers on the dashboard, what those were. So I seen a sign, and I can't recall, maybe it said 40. In my mind, I thought that was the speed limit was 40 miles per hour. Well, in actuality, that was kilometers, and I was speeding. I think it was some 20 miles over the speed limit. So when the officer pulls me over, because I got pulled over, he asked me if I knew why I was pulled over, and I had no idea. I said, no, sir. He said, you're speeding. I said, well, absolutely not. I tried to argue against this man. I say, I was not speeding. I was doing 40. And he looked at me. He did show me a little mercy because he knew that I had made a mistake.
Yeah.
My point is, when it comes to God, we have to understand the order. Amen. There's things that you have to be knowledgeable of, and if you don't, you can find yourself in trouble. So it is good that we have people over us, governments over us, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the world, because it's to keep the people subject, if you will, to higher powers, to govern us, to keep some type of control amongst the people. Amen?
Yeah. And that's what, yeah, now he hit it right on the head where we're going to be starting at. I'll just read this because I want to read another scripture, mm-hmm, in 1 Timothy. But it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God.
Mm-hmm.
So skip over on that note, or 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and he says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Then, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that are defile themselves with mankind, and men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So the law is definitely for a purpose.
Amen.
So where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Yes.
So there is law. There's laws made up. And then also, I would have never known this until I heard someone say it, this a talk show host, murder is a legal term. You know, we could say somebody killed somebody, but
uh-huh.
if you say murder, that's a legal term.
Yes.
Yeah, so so we got to know words when you use words. So that is definitely something that everybody don't know about certain things that we may say.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we say, well, we say they crucified our Lord, but and then some people say they assassinated him. You know, well, he did give his life. He was assassinated, and he gave his life also. But on the other hand, we had presidents and civil rights leaders that were assassinated. They didn't give their life.
No.
Their life was taken.
It was taken from
them. Yeah, they didn't give, you know, I'm a sacrifice. I come to give my life. They might have known, like King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that they were after him,
mm-hmm.
that his life may be cut short, but he was no sacrifice. He didn't give his life. They took his life.
Amen.
So we have to watch how we use words.
Amen.
So he goes on, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But also, we can see now, like never before, I listen to satellite radio all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of police brutality going on.
It is.
And then also, there are officers are afraid because they're getting shot for no reason, too.
Amen.
So they got the mentality, I'm going to get you before you get me.
Yeah. And it's a funny thing, and I'm not sure about every law enforcement agency across the country and even further across the world, but with my particular department, and we have to do this annually, when I first started the job, we actually had to take an oath. There's a specific oath that we took at my department, and at the end, we take that oath, if you will, to God or under God's power. So when we talk here that those powers that be are ordained of God, we actually take an oath before God to uphold the law.
Yes.
So it shows you that these powers were ordained by God to keep order. And in a little further down, when it says that those that resist the power, they resist the ordinance of God, and it just makes me think, this is actually a couple weeks ago, Elder, there was an individual in our facility, and I had never heard of this before. Everyone that comes in, by law, you have to get your picture, or what everyone knows in the world as your mugshot,
yeah.
and your fingerprints taken. So this individual here, we're ready to ship him off to the, to the back of the jail to get him a cell and a bed and all this, and he says he's not giving his fingerprints, which is illegal. So I asked him the reason, because sometimes I try to reason with these guys and talk to them. I said, well, why are you not going to allow us to take your fingerprints? And he says it was against his beliefs or his religion.
Hmm.
I said, well, brother, what is it that you're claiming? And he said that he was sovereign. I'm not sure if you've heard of these people before, but pretty much what they are, after I did some research, is they're kind of anti-government, an anti-government type movement, and they believe that some of the laws of the land are fraudulent and that they don't have to be subject to all these laws. And one of those is they don't believe in giving their fingerprints. So I had to explain to him, well, unfortunately, while you're in this facility, you are subject to the law.
Mm.
And one way or another, we're going to get your fingerprints. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you want to sit and boycott it, you can go sit in a holding cell, and that's where you'll be sleeping at on hard concrete for days on end until you become subject to this law. To make a long story short, eventually he had to go ahead and get those fingerprints
mm-hmm.
taken. But you will have people that will try to fight against the law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ordained by God, and I believe some way, somehow, God is going to keep his order even in the natural things, and things are going to go the way that they should.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he is. And so then also, not only that, but even in no matter if you're working on a job or church leadership or whatever. Now, there are some people that abuse leadership.
Yes.
You know, so, but that's not right. So just like he says, rulers are not a terror to good works,
mm-hmm.
but to evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so then also I was thinking while you were talking about people and God establish organizations. Now, we may not understand it, just like the apostles' headquarters was at Jerusalem.
Amen.
So God is a God of order. But on the other hand, I don't care what your title is and all, if you're dirty, you know, you got to live right. So that the Bible say, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That supersedes everything.
Mm-hmm.
God don't, you know, sometimes people think because they got a title, they're entitled to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, like a sheriff
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think because of, oh, do you know who I am? You could, you know, they could do things. Just like there was a incident that happened in D.C. with one of the officials got busted. Him and his wife with some money.
Uh-huh.
Made it, you know, you might have heard about it. Yeah, so, I mean, things happen, so it doesn't matter. I guess this man is was a prosecutor himself, but
mm-hmm.
he should have known better. But they tapped him and everything, and, it, you know, it was on the news. And then I heard it on the radio also. And so you're subject. Doesn't matter who you are.
That's right.
You're subject to law.
Uh-huh.
We all are. But what I was going to say about church leadership, Psalm 68 and verse 6, the Bible said, God setteth the solitary in family.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you say, you know, we know what solitary confinement. You're off by yourself. You're independent, really.
Mm-hmm.
You can be independent.
Yes.
You know, you could be a committee of one or you could be independent.
Mm-hmm.
That could go both ways.
Yeah.
But it says, God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land.
Mm-hmm.
So, like one of our former bishops taught church government. That was his home base scripture. And the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The dry land is the desert. And in the desert, there is no water.
No water.
And in the desert, you will die.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to survive because there's no living waters out there.
Amen.
To sustain you in the desert. So we don't have to be afraid, like I said, but on the other hand, you can't abuse your authority. So there was a young man that was shot to death in New York the morning of his wedding.
Yes, I remember,
you know,
the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was no reason for all of that. That was overkill. Then there was also another guy in D.C. that was handcuffed,
mm-hmm.
that was shot to death in the squad car. He was handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so some of these police officers are just, they're out of control. For lack of a better word,
and
to put it.
They are.
They're abusing their authority.
And unfortunately, when you see things like this, then you get citizens that then will try and give all law enforcement officers a bad name, if you will.
Right.
They look at them as all being corrupt, and then
right.
they feel that they, therefore, don't need to be subject to those powers. And I believe that the same problem, Elder Cannon, translates over to the church, where you see some of the church leaders abusing the powers.
Yes.
And people see this, and then they feel that, well, he's a major name or he's a big player in the church. When I mean player, I mean
mm-hmm.
a name, if you will.
Right.
So they see him as being corrupt, and then they try to give that title or that way of life or that label
mm-hmm.
to all churches. And then they want to stay away from us. So what you have to understand is not everyone is crooked. Not every police
right.
officer is crooked. Not every church leader is crooked. But it's up to you to do what we're doing and to go through the entire Bible and find out what is right and what is not right. Find out what's in order and what's out of order. And then you look for that in a church home so that you can line up with the scriptures. Amen?
Right. Right. So we go on here. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil, without then not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
Mm-hmm.
For he is the minister or the servant of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So and we should obey authority. So, like I said, we're in the last days. So, just too many times that authority is being abused, not just in the office, police officers and these kind of people, but all kinds of folks that are in high places are abusing their authority. And so what happens, consequently, they're going to be exposed of what they're doing, because you're not, you up just like the president of the United States is sworn to uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
Or if we're working for a job, we got to go. Some jobs have, if you in a job that has a union, then you have a union contract that you got to go by. Then there are jobs that don't have unions. They have a handbook that they go by.
Mm-hmm.
They have guidelines and all when you work for them, and you got to obey their rules when you're working for them. You don't want to do that, then you got to leave.
That's right.
So you're breaking the law. You're breaking their law.
Mm-hmm.
So we have laws that you got to abide by. So it is only for our good. So we do that which is right. We don't have to worry.
That's right.
And so that's why, on the other hand, you got to have a lawyer, too, if you do end up going to court or whatever, because you can't fight the law by yourself. That doesn't work like that. If you happen to need a representation. So for this cause, he says, pay ye tribute also. They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we know sometimes people are so, they need to be, have an allegiance to God like they do men.
Yeah, yes.
Because sometimes people are caught up in men.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you should be, like people say, first giving honor to God. Well, like I said, you want to honor God. If you honor God, then you will do right. You're going to live right. You won't bring disgust or grieve the man of God. Like, for instance, what happened to the man of God, Moses, when he went up into the mount and he was up there for 40 days and God wrote with his finger those tablets. And Moses came down and saw what they were doing.
Yes.
And he was wroth with the people, and he threw the tablets down. He had to go back and write them himself. So,
right.
So you could bring. That's why the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you."
Mm-hmm.
In the scriptures, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. They watch for your soul that they may do it with joy. And not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Yeah.
But also, he says, obey them that have the rule. The rule is the word. Those that have the word over you. So you're not obeying them as a person, but you're obeying God's word. Just like the authority, I heard also on this week, they're coming up with, they're trying to propose something, like if your child gets in the juvenile system, they won't let the parents be privy to the information on the child, which is, that's the illegal procedure. Because you're responsible for them. They're a minor. They were saying a pimp got a hold of this 12-year-old girl, and some kind of way he got custody of her. You know, like the parents weren't even privy to
the information.
To the information. Yeah. That makes no sense. Because there is a such thing as accountability and responsibility.
Yes.
So we can see we're in the last days. The script is being flipped on a lot of things. But one thing it always makes me think about, when so many things are happening and when they're running out of money, in the school system, so the state will take over the school system, or the county take over the police department. A lot of different things that are happening, and it makes me think, like, you don't want to be here when the church is gone.
That's right.
Because Antichrist ain't negotiating with nobody.
That's right. That's right.
He ruling with iron fist.
He's going to deceive many, and after that 3.5 years, after he deceives, he's going to take what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants.
Right.
And we can kind of see a lot of these things, like you said,
right,
as a precursor to those things where you now you're seeing things, like you said, it just doesn't make sense. And as you were, you know, saying that thing about the minors and, you know, in the juvenile center, my memory on this is a little hazy, but I do believe that also pertaining to the doctor's office, if your child was to go in and get some type of pregnancy test, I do believe that there's a certain age that your child can be where the parents should be notified.
Right.
But they're saying by law they can't share that information because it would be a violation of
privacy.
HIPAA laws or privacy or something like that. Now, that's just crazy.
Right.
If my child has something going on and I call to the doctor's office, my child, whom I'm claiming on my taxes, they're on my insurance.
They came out of your loan.
They came out of my loan, and now they have something going on, and you can't tell me about these things. So if you look, and you can even look at the laws of the land and see how some things are changing, you can see this as a precursor where some of the law that we've been given is being slowly but surely it's either being taken away or it's being tweaked to where soon there's going to be lawlessness, if you will,
right,
in the land.
Right. And what amendment is that? Is it the 13th? One amendment, they always say, like, we don't really know exactly what a lot of stuff says right offhand all the time, or the Constitution would pretty much do. But one of the amendments is to protect us from government.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that's not going to be, not when the Antichrist is here.
No.
He don't care about no government. That's going to be out the window.
Yeah, man.
And so we know, even like they're negotiating, like they've always told us, ever since I've been saved, that Israel is the time clock. We know they're steady trying to negotiate peace. And it's not going to be worth the paper that it's written on. Because when they shall say peace and safety, the Bible said, then sudden destruction. So, Israel is the time clock, and it behooves us to look at these things that are going on. And people do have power, just like I think the Attorney General is the highest law official in any state.
Mm-hmm.
He's the top cop, as they would say,
yes,
in the state, Attorney General.
That's right.
So people have power, but you can't abuse your power. You shouldn't abuse your power.
You
shouldn't abuse your power, no matter what. But sometimes it does happen. But God did set up authority, and He is a God of authority, and He is a God of order.
That's right.
So you got to go through the procedures, like they say. I've never been in the military, but there is a rank that you go through. What they call it? Chain of command. So there's a chain of command. They even have that in law enforcement agencies.
That's right.
A lot of folks is trying to make sergeant or trying to make captain.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And even when you have problems, you have to follow that chain of command. And we have to understand that. So even in the body of Christ, at church government, as you have mentioned, there is a chain of command. So if one of the leaders was to fall in some type of trouble, there's officials over that leader that will properly judge that individual and do what is according to the law of God. And as I said before, the problem with those that are running independent, if that leader falls into some type of sin, there's no one over him, if you will, to judge that situation. That is out of order.
Right.
There's no order with that, and God is not in that. So that's why you have to be careful when you run into situations or organizations or individuals that don't want to be subject to authority. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're dealing with this, is Paul is telling them that you are going to be, as he said in verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power.
Right.
So if you have someone, if you're part of an organization or part of a church, and there's no one over your leader, if there is no authority over that person, you have to ask yourself, why is there no higher power? Why is there no official, if you will, or a board of individuals that are over that person to make sure things are running accordingly? Amen.
Right. Yeah. Because God's got order, and that's why Peter wrote in First Peter the 5th chapter. He says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, be subject, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Mm-hmm. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble.
That's right.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, and James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So, but the point being, we're subject one to another. And I think some people, like bishop is the highest title, actually biblical title, in our day. We know in the days of the apostles that they were sent forth. That was the highest title. There are no apostles nowadays, and a lot of folks don't like that.
Amen.
But nowadays, a bishop, but actually, if you are a pastor, you are a bishop, because a bishop is an overseer.
That's right.
But what Peter is saying, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am elder, even if you're an apostle, even if you are a bishop, you're still an elder. You got ordained an elder. You don't get ordained a bishop.
That's right.
You just get appointed.
Amen.
That position.
Amen.
So people have problems with that. But what he's saying is here is be subject one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Because after all, it is not a big I and a little you.
That's right.
But we're serving God. We're supposed to be on the same team.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you wonder. Some of us, and like you watch any, like a football, I'm not really a football person, but I like baseball and basketball. But most people will tell you, on a team, they'll say, I'm just trying to help out my teammates. I'm trying to help out my, how come we don't have that mentality in the church? We're trying to, you know, we're working. That's why Apostle Paul says we're workers together with God.
Amen.
We are God's husbandry. You know, our life is hid in Christ with God. So we're supposed to be on the same team, and the enemy is the devil who we're fighting against.
That's right.
You know, that's what Apostle Paul said. He didn't confer with flesh and blood, you know, but that wasn't his enemy, flesh and blood. So even when he dealt with Peter and told him he was to be blamed because of the things that he was doing, withdrawing himself from the Gentiles and carried away with their dissimulation, he withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So you got to take the – so none of us are above rebuke, and we should want to be. If we are wrong, we should humble ourselves and admit it.
Amen. We should be corrected.
Be corrected, yeah. Because like some people say that, well, I stand corrected, but if you don't, but try to correct them and see what they got to say about that.
And we have to remember, as you were saying, that there is no big I and a little you. We're all part of one body.
Yeah.
That is the body of Christ. As stated in the first letter written to the Corinthians in chapter 12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
Many.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of, therefore not of that body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were all the hearing? If the whole body hearing, where were the smelling? So what we have to understand is, we all have individual places within the body of Christ. And again, that's speaking of order. We all have to operate in our proper place. And we have to understand where our place in the body of Christ is. And all this, if you will, runs up under the leadership. If you have a leader in a proper spot, God is going to give him and let him know where certain individuals in that local assembly belong so that local assembly can run correctly. But if everyone wants to be the eyes, as they say, well, then how are we going to hear? How are we going to speak? And that's the problem. As you know, the world says we have too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Everyone wants to lead. Nobody wants to follow.
Right.
That is out of order with God. Isn't it?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, you got to be in your proper place. There's only, and everybody, God made us all unique. And I know there are preachers, folks trying to mimic someone else, but everybody's unique. That, you know, you're special as being a child of God. There's no one like you. As they would say, when God made you, he threw the mold away. But he did, but he didn't, you know. But we're all unique, is the point being. And also, I forgive me, I've forgot to give out our call-in number. That is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Yeah, so we all are unique. And while we're trying to be like somebody else, somebody's trying to be like us. And as I said, I don't know about how girls thought when they were growing up, but I know how boys, we always saw somebody we wanted to be like. It just was in us. But I guess it's good that you want to be like somebody. And then I remember superintendent of over at the Sunday school used to say, some of them little young kids, who you want to be like? Oh, I want to be like Bishop so-and-so. So that's a good role model to want to be like, you know. So in other words, you want to be a clean man. You want to be a holy man. You want to be a preacher of the gospel. You want to do what's right. So even before I got saved, before I came into the knowledge of the truth at the dry church where I was, before I got saved, so-called church, I'd seen people. I used to like, man, I sure would like to be straight where I ain't hungover and all of that.
Right. Amen.
You know,
amen.
I'm just looking at the shell because of that person, the way they look. But it's on the inside is where it all starts.
That's right.
So thank God for that. So as we see here in the seventh verse, I believe I read it when he was saying, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And even if our sheriff of township or county or this area, because we have various counties in our region, if our sheriff was to come in to our facility, we would honor him as our sheriff.
Amen.
We ain't so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
That we understand about authority and chain of command and all of that. So he goes on to say here in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." He goes on, "The law, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So what he's saying is, you wouldn't do something to someone else that you wouldn't want done to you. Because they say, there's two things that you cannot give back. Two things in the world that you can't give back no matter what you do.
Uh-huh.
One is the chastity of your neighbor's wife, and the other is life.
That's right.
That's why I don't agree with the death penalty. if you execute the wrong person,
uh-huh,
you can't bring him back.
and even then, to me, if you were to ask me, that's eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth.
Right.
So even biblically, I don't agree with that. And thank God, and I'll continue to pray. And you know, I believe in my heart that I will never be subject to that law.
Right.
And that's the key to some things. If you don't agree with some of the laws of the land, you know, I tell people, don't put yourself in a situation,
right,
where you will be subject to that particular law, amen.
Right.
So again, you know, we have to place ourselves in areas where we can fulfill the commandments of God. And going back as you were reading up here, where he was going in verse number 9, where he's speaking of different commandments, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal. Going back to what I said earlier about being ignorant to the law, we shouldn't be ignorant to certain things that we should and shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And a study, and I don't have really time to deal with this today, but you can see here that Paul named some of the commandments that were named in the Ten Commandments.
Right.
What you will find throughout the New Testament is you will find a reference to all but one. And again, this deals with understanding the law of God. And you have the seventh day of Venice out there, and they tell you that we should be worshiping on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, that we should be keeping the Sabbath. That at one point in time was one of God's commandments, and
right,
that will be restored. But as you were saying, we have to know what's for Israel and what is for the church. And
yeah,
the Sabbath according to, I do believe it's the 31st chapter of Exodus, was a, and I actually, just let me go there real quickly. And that was established for Israel. So that
right.
is a law that men or churches should not be trying to keep you up under, if you will, because you're out of order. See, there's as you were saying, there's some that abuse the law, or there's some that may not know the law, and they will unlawfully put you under subjection of something. We have to understand what the law is. It's Exodus 31, and I'll start at verse number 14. It says, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh it is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." So we understand that God is ordaining this, but we have to pay attention in verse number 16. He says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." Verse number 17, it is a sign. It, the Sabbath, is a
right.
sign between me, that's God,
right.
and the children of Israel forever. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So again, to all those Seventh-day Adventists out there, I guess they must be the children of Israel if they are keeping the Sabbath. If not, then, you know, I would have to ask you, why are you keeping the Sabbath if that was a covenant between God and the children of Israel?
Right.
So, again, we have to understand the law, amen? We
right.
have to understand the law of the land, but more important, we have to understand the law of God. And that's a lot of times, Elder, how some people will get themselves in trouble with God, is because they don't know the difference between right and wrong when it comes to the scriptures. They don't know the difference sometimes between what is sin and what is not sin. And if you know, and it always goes back, I say, to the pastor of the local assembly. If he has indeed been set in place by God, he will instruct the people in the way in which they should go. And if they error, it won't be on the man of God, but it will be on the individual. Amen?
Right. And then most people know, because that's why they'd be, like some people like this time of year, because it gets dark early. They can do their dirt, you know, because they ain't doing it. Folks know when they're doing it. They know they ain't supposed to be having a girlfriend
yes.
or a boyfriend, and they got a husband or they got a wife. Or, you know, that's why they sneak and do it.
Yes.
You know, because they know they're wrong. You know, some people may not, and they know if they're lying, they're bearing false witness or they're coveting.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't supposed to covet your neighbor's wife or his ass or his ox. Or not, you ain't supposed to, you're not supposed to covet what somebody else has.
That's right.
You, we used to make, when I worked for General Motors, we made a lot of cars all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get one, too.
That's
you ain't
right.
got to have them go steal mine. You
right.
get one.
You can get one, yeah.
You can get one just like it.
Yeah, just
that's
like
what
that.
I remember one brother. He got a van. He was going to get a van a certain color. This is when I first got saved in 76. So he, this other individual ended up getting a van the color that he wanted and got his customized. So he ended up getting an ugly army green, another color. Man, I thought if I was him, I would have got the one I wanted. We both would have just had one look alike. We make them every day, the same color.
See, that's good.
Yeah, you're going to end up with something you don't want
because uh-huh.
somebody else got the one you wanted, the color you wanted first. There's too many of them, the same color.
That's right.
But that's, you know, that's how we are as people. Some things we do, we call ourselves humbling ourselves, and other things, some things are just stupidity that we do. But he says about we loving our neighbor as ourselves. Then verse 10, love working no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law,
mm-hmm.
that knowing the time now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Yes.
We know sometimes people put the word first believed in there, but we know they initially is what they're talking about when
mm-hmm.
you believe, but it's nearer because you're getting older and time is going. And time, they said time is not going nowhere, but we are. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we know, like you say here, too many times some people are drunk on things, you know, and wanting, and envying, and what other people have. And sometimes people have literally said, I'm jealous, you know, not to say, I wish I could be you. I'm jealous. I wish I had that attribute. Some people are literally jealous when they say that.
Yes.
You know, like the Bible said, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Mm-hmm. So actually, envy and jealousy are so intertwined. You know, like the Bible said, love is strong as death, and jealousy is cruel as the grave.
Yes.
So we know, folks, jealous, that's a rage you go in.
Yeah,
you know, you can go in a rage and kill. You know, just like one of our bishops said, after you kill somebody, then you still can't use their gift.
Mm-mm.
So that shows you how unique God has made us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be just like somebody else. You are your own man, or you are your own woman.
Amen.
Because God made us all different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's his name? Elisha said to Elijah, when he said, before I'm taken away, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of thy spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you ask a very hard thing. But you know, he didn't say, it was good what he said, really, when you think about it. He wanted a double portion.
Yes.
I don't just want to do what you're doing.
I want to do it.
Yeah. And then even like Joshua and Moses, like God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, he said to Joshua, you're going to go over this Jordan. As I was with Moses, shall I be with thee?
Mm-hmm.
So we can see how God worked on his behalf. And even like Jesus said of us, he said, greater works than these shall you do.
Amen.
What he was saying, because I'm going to my Father. So when I go, I'm going to send another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we're baptized in the name of Jesus. We receive the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gives us what to utter. We have power. That's why he told them, they asked Jesus a very important question, will thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So he was letting them know what's important. You're going to be a witness.
Yes.
I'm giving you power to be a witness.
Amen.
So that's what most people want. So you are unique. Everyone is unique. So, like I said, God gave Peter the keys.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Paul the mystery. You know, he gave different things to different people. But everybody was talking about the same God.
That's right.
They're preaching the same Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. So in other words, we can understand God's sonship. You know, so you believe in the Son. You got to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Yes.
God is the Spirit, so he made himself a body.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't understand that. So this purpose, the Son of God, was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he had to become a lamb.
Yes.
And that's why he said in the 40th chapter of Psalms and the 10th chapter of Hebrews, which is the self-same thing, that he came in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God.
Mm-hmm.
So he came, and what was written? So people don't understand what was written. And that's why he was saying that which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So it's so great, yeah,
amen,
what he said. So people, you got to understand, that's why Paul said that he's not ashamed in Romans 1 and 16 of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
It is the power of God,
yeah,
unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he went on to say, for therein is the right, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, as is written, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know who he is.
That's right.
So We're not talking about a different God, but we're talking about the same one. So that's why when we come on, we let you know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John writes that they handled of the Word of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I like the saying that one preacher says, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony.
Yes.
There's only one witness on the stand, that was God himself.
That's right.
He's testifying. Nobody can speak better for him better than he himself.
That's
why he was saying in Isaiah, the eagle eye prophet, that's why he wrote, said some of those things that he said, you know, that he is strong, you know, not one faileth.
Mm-hmm.
What says thou, O Jacob, my way is hid from passed over for my God? That's when he went on to say, has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not. He don't faint.
No faint.
Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He give power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increase the strength. Even the youth shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes people say, they shall mount up on wings as an eagle. No, he said, with wings as an eagle.
Yes.
So, we're with God. So we can do these things. So we just thank God for his word and what he's letting us to know to do.
Amen, amen, amen. And you know, just to kind of backtrack on what you were saying, you know, as far as leadership and us, you know, people, I feel that when you say you want to be just like someone else, I feel like you're kind of selling yourself short. You should strive to want to be better than an individual. And it's not to put yourself on a higher pedestal, but I believe, you know, and if you have a good leader that is over you, I believe a good leader will prepare you to go on to have more knowledge of God than that person. Amen. It should be a growing process. If we are all like each other and stay the same, then I don't think that there will be any growth in the church. So I think, you know, and that's one thing I think love will allow a leader to do that. Instead of coveting, if you will, the revelations that God has given to them and they don't want to share for fear of an individual becoming more enlightened, if you will, than them. So I believe that has to do with the love of God that we constantly talk about here. If you love someone, you should want them to do better.
Exactly.
You should want them to go on. You should want mm-hmm. them to prosper in the word of God. Amen. So
right.
Let us also know that. It's a good thing
right.
To go on.
So. Yeah, and that's what he says here. And while you were saying that, I was turning to it. He said, 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, but covet earnestly the best gift,
mm-hmm.
yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
That's right.
So we should want to covet the best gifts. Because we so just like to say, the songwriter says, to be used of God is my desire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's, every one of us, that should be our desire, to be used of God.
That's right.
Because we can reach people that nobody else, there's only one of us.
That's right.
We can reach people that no one else can reach.
That's right.
We are us, and we should want to be who God made us
that's right.
to be. And thank God we're included in the us's.
The us's, that's right.
All the us's.
Amen.
I was writing down some of the us's the other night. So we thank God for his work, that he has done for us as the children of God, as the church of God, and enabling us to be able to go through the scriptures. And so we only have 13th, 14th, 15th. We don't have too many more books to go through in the book of Romans, yeah, up to the 16th. Yeah, so we are going to be checking out on today. And so we thank God for his word that we're able to share on today. And we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, seen on in the world, received up into glory.